Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. Peggy Burdick, she is our guest today, financial coach and author known as the Financial Whisperer. And when you hear her, you will understand exactly why people call her that. And she has written the book, It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is. And the website is thefinancialwhisperer.com. Peggy, welcome to the program.
David, thank you. It's so lovely to be back, and I'm sorry that it's been 2 years.
It's been way too long, Peggy. It's been way too long.
Sure.
But I am excited to have you back, and I love having Peggy on the program when we can get her now that she is very popular and famous and nominated. I love that you were nominated for the as a Huffington Post. They asked their readers to submit nomination of people who reinvented themselves for better after the age of 50. And this is called the 50 over 50. And I'm just so tickled that you got nominated. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't that taxing to do it, but it was fabulous to be noted. And it was just, it's been a great ride, David. And I thank you so much for having me back, because I know we always got along in all of our conversations, and we have to not let it go so long now.
Well, we won't do that, but I do have a protest with Huffington Post. They've got your name in Los Angeles, and they've got this number here next to your name that can't be right. Okay, your age on here. This cannot be right.
I like you. I knew there's a reason why I like you.
You are owning it, and I love it. So. Yeah. All right, so let's talk. We've talked on previous shows, and I wanted to have you back to kind of get your current take on, how people are dealing with money and your experience with individuals and some of the work that you do. So Peggy writes, as I mentioned, with the work. She's also, you tell them a little bit about your clientele and what you do, Peggy. I think that because they need to know where you're coming from with some of the things we're going to talk about today.
Here's my premise, and I am continuously told, God, no one ever explained money from that perspective, or I've never heard of this way of learning how to control myself or how to budget myself. I take a whole different approach. I look at money more from the behavioral side, more from the emotional side, all of that stemming from one's childhood. So I do something that's radically different, but the results are 100%. They work forever because I give people the tools to control themselves. And that's really what everything, doesn't matter whether it's weight or we're working too much, whatever, everything always comes down to control. Who has it? You better have it, because if you don't, someone or something else will. And then you turn around and be 50 or 60, like my age, and you look at your portfolio and it doesn't exist. There are moths inside your portfolio. Can't let that happen to yourself. You've got to catch it, fix it, and then live that life. So the book, the title, It's Never About the Money, Even When It is about really that. Everything appears as symbols and metaphors about your issues. In my case, it was got played out in the arena of finances. What I find our market is mostly women, but what I find is that people are hungry for information. I have the same experience when I was a mortgage broker. All these women wanted to learn about how to get a mortgage and not get ripped off, but no one's teaching it. Nobody. The banks were just interested. Here, sign here, and yeah, you've got an adjustable, this and that. And they weren't giving out the information to allow someone to make an educated decision.
So, well, that's well put, Peggy, because yeah. I think people need to understand what they're doing, and they need to understand the why and what they're doing. And I love the subtitle for your book, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money, because whether people realize it or not, it's all wrapped up together.
Yeah.
And it affects your decisions. It affects, you mentioned people working too much or maybe not enough. I mean, who knows? I had an encounter not long ago with we work with other companies in doing the work we do, investment and insurance companies. And I had an encounter with somebody that, I called to pick up on them and talk with them about something, and they weren't there. They were no longer with the company. And And I, you know, ended up finding out a little bit more information I really wanted to know about why they had left. And it was, you know, it was just the opposite of what you had alluded to with working too much. They weren't working enough. They weren't doing their job. And there was like this whole, you know, kind of weird thing with money with them. And so it can cause us to make bad decisions.
Well, but that's what sabotage or self-sabotage is about. You know, I just got finished running a workshop for women veterans. And part of the theme of the workshop, besides teaching coping skills, was how to keep the job. You work so hard to get the job, right? You go through the resume process. There's like a zillion people all trying to get the same job. You get the job, and then 6 or 8 months later, you lose the job. Why? It's amazing to me how many people get in their own way.
That's interesting.
When you have the language and you have the tools and you have the desire to have the self-awareness, then you can have control. But, you know, how many people take antidepressants? How many people have too many glasses of wine at night? How many people just numb themselves out? They don't want to do the work, David. That's the problem.
Well, okay. So what can we do about that? That's the next question. If we recognize these things. Well, first is recognizing it and understanding it more. And I know that's a lot of what your book is about. And you've also got I was on your website and I noticed you've got an ebook that's available for download. And that's right under the book section of the website, and they just click on that and they get a free ebook. That's pretty cool.
Well, here's the thing. You know, when we did the book, even though it's on sale, you know, the paperback version is on sale on Amazon. My thing was, if you give it away for free, because it's a very dicey topic, it is full of shame, it's so emotionally charged. Someone gets to take it in small dosages, right? They can take a little bite at a time. The book was written in a very simple fashion, large type, and people can pace themselves with getting the information. But at the same time, how exhilarating is it for someone to see themselves in the privacy of their own room or car or whatever, to see themselves on the pages and feel that they're not alone. Someone else has exactly the same anxiety that you have, the same issue, the same. So that helps people talk about it and even raise their hand to get more information, because they're acknowledging, you know what, that is true. I don't talk to my husband about this, or I buy stuff, and I hide it in the closet before I bring it out, or I don't, you know, it's just amazing the stories that people have, mostly from women, about how they mismanage their money and their decisions.
Well, I am so glad that you're doing this, Peggy, because people, this is an opportunity for them to really get a better grip on this, and a lot of people feel out of control. You know, you mentioned people numbing themselves. I mean, a lot of times people just feel out of control and they feel like, you know, like that all of a sudden there's no gravity and they're floating, you know, I mean, and they're floating, you know, they're floating and they're like, okay. And they don't have, and they may not feel that sense of centeredness they also put things off and they know they need to do something about it, or they put their needs behind other people. And I'm sure you've seen that in the coaching that you've done.
Oh yeah, you know, I do a lot of blogging on a website called Your Tango. And so my blog this month is about, having an agenda or having expectations when you are in a relationship. And again, this is about women, and you're basically supporting your boyfriend because he's a quote struggling artist. Meanwhile, you have a normal paying job, full time job, your business keeps advancing, you keep making more money, but meanwhile, this guy can't even make a living, and you keep supporting him. Why?
That's a good question.
The second time I got married, I married a guy with $37 in his pocket, and that wasn't just for the day. That was his life. What rationale did I create to enable myself that I hated myself that much that I brought this man, my second marriage, into my life, lovely guy, lovely guy. But why did I do that? I mean, I have the answer now, but most women have that. It's no different than domestic violence or something like that. Why do women stay with men that beat them? Why do women stay? You name the condition. People choose it out of pain, anger, sadness, a hole in their heart. There's always an explanation. But only when someone can acknowledge it and take responsibility for it can you change it. Otherwise, you know, have another cupcake. Buy more shoes.
Yeah, it's something to grapple with. Peggy Burdick, ladies and gentlemen, financial coach, author, known as The Financial Whisperer, and I love that, thefinancialwhisperer.com. And the book is never about the money, even when it is. And as you can hear in Peggy's voice, there's something underneath, right? So yeah. Let's grab a quick break. We'll be right back.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got one of my favorites on the line, and it's been way too long to talk to Peggy Burdick, financial coach, author, and the Financial Whisperer, as she is known in circles that, well, they have the best taste, and they know who Peggy is. The book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, and we've got a free ebook on our website. And I noticed when I was on the break, I was checking out your website a little closer. With the ebook, you can also, there's a 30-minute mini session included as well?
Yes, and let me tell you a little bit about how that evolved. People, the one thing about having live sessions, and it doesn't matter who you do it with, you become accountable, right? That's how Weight Watchers really made their impact, was that you had to show up every week and weigh yourself. So I just came off doing the Lisa Gar show September 16th. She is put on by Hay House. And so we decided that we would give away a mini session with anytime anyone took a book. So it was a great show. She's very engaged, like you are. But 234 people wanted the book. Maybe about 30 people wanted some time to talk to me. What does that tell me?
Wow.
People are hungry for information. I got people calling me from Hungary, from London, from South Africa, from Mexico, Canada, Brooklyn. I have people all over the world calling me, asking me for some time. People are in pain. People are afraid. The same problems that we have here, they have in the Ukraine. It doesn't matter where you are. It's universal, which is tragic. You know, everyone is struggling.
Let's get underneath the hood here. Why do you think that is? Why is it so pervasive? Is it the nature of our culture or cultures? Is it that inherently human, we have these challenges? What is your perspective on this, Peggy?
Well, everyone raises their eyebrows and they run for the hills when they hear me say it, but this is kind of the basis of my whole coaching practices. Things start at birth, right? You go off track at birth. So if you get your needs met appropriately, then what happens the rest of your life, chasing something you can never set, it then appears in metaphors and symbols. It's all very disguised. People are not grounded emotionally. The first part of your brain that gets developed is the emotional, the inside of your brain. Logic, rational thought comes second. So the thing that babies can do first is feel.
Mm.
Can't see it too clearly because their eyes are a little milky. They can smell and they can feel. So if we understand that every message or every interaction you have up until you're 5 years old gets cemented, kids are literal. They believe in Santa Claus. 25-year-old doesn't, but a 5-year-old does. They keep looking at the chimney December 24th,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but that's where it gets cemented. That's where it stops. The problem is your body moves on, but your emotions don't. So you're 25, and you're still acting like you're 5. You're making decisions as you're 5. I want it. I want it. I want it. I don't need it, but I want it.
Yeah.
Ah, people overspend.
Right.
People are not conscious of really what's going on. Yeah, we want it too, but you know what? You got to pay your light bill first. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So they don't get the early messages. And it's not even so much what they're taught in their household growing up. It's the basic issue. Did they bond to their parents? Do they feel wanted and valued? That's all about your self-esteem. And you know, on my website, if you go all the way to the bottom to the footer and you see the healing tools, I finally put up three most basic tools. One of them is the wagon wheel. And the center of the wagon wheel is cracked. spokes represent a piece of your life. So if the wheel is cracked, guess what? The wheel is going to wobble. What we do in the coaching practice, what I'm teaching other coaches to do, is teach people how to cement back the core of that wheel, because then things move smoothly.
Well, and I think the analogy is an excellent one, Peggy, because if that core of the wheel is cracked, and it doesn't matter what type of road you put that wagon on, it's going to wobble, and you know there's going to be challenges. And it occurred to me as you were describing kind of the way with the human development and babies and all of that, that you know if there are some of these cracks or things that are not right or don't work, or something goes off, the wheel flies off, if you will, off the wagon at some point in development, or at some point, or something happens, you mm-hmm. know, during their youth, that, this may be a hole that somebody tries to continually fill during their lifetime. And as you said, they may not be able to fill it, but they seek, and again, it's never about the money, even when it is, because it might be that that's the way they try to fill it. The classic overachiever, somebody who, maybe something wasn't, there was something missing, and they put in the 80-hour work weeks trying to work enough to fix something else that's got nothing to do with work.
I'm so glad you identify that personality, because I get a lot of people that are perfectionists. And it's sad, because, the whole premise of being a perfectionist is that you're going towards a goal hoping to get the reward. That's how these kids set it up in their heads. But, of course, you get there, and there's no reward. So they keep trying. There's no boundary in perfectionism, as opposed to doing it for the sake of doing it, to be excellent within yourself. If they were talking about playing tennis, be a phenomenal tennis player for yourself. But if it's always this competition and you have to beat everybody and you get there and there's nothing. I mean, I have just so many people, and you see it with actors, and you mm-hmm. see it with so many people that are so driven.
Right.
They're not happy. They're just not happy. So it's a very sad state of affairs.
Well, and when it comes to money, Peggy, I can tell you this from, my experience, and we continue to grow because, we do work hard. We have, a very structured company, and I've got a great team, and we continue to do things that allow us to do the very best we can for our clients. And mm-hmm. and so we continue to grow. And I can tell you from having worked with people that, and this is for our listeners, that, maybe they're frustrated financially, or they say, golly, if I just had, X, I would be this much better off, or I would be this much happier. And I can tell you and our listeners that I've had people come in, and they've got another zero, more than you do, and some of them are just as unhappy, just as yeah. scared, just as nervous, just as worried, just as frustrated, mm-hmm. just. And so even with the acquisition of maybe more resources there, it doesn't change it.
I know, because if you keep chasing, when they show you these... I was watching something on TV about the greyhounds when they race, and they put this mechanical thing, rabbit, in front of them.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Something artificial is pulling this person ahead, and they will never, never get there.
Well, and what's ironic about your story, Peggy, or your analogy of the greyhound, is if the greyhound does catch by chance, whatever happens, if they run fast enough, or if there's something where the machine lags before it starts, if they catch it, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard this. It sounds like it would be that the greyhound does catch the mechanical rabbit, they'll never run again.
Wow. I thought you were going to tell me it shocks them and kills them.
No, nothing that. No, nothing
that. Poor dog says, hey, that's it for me.
Well, and I think, maybe, I don't know if it's true or not, but it certainly makes for an excellent metaphor to your point about the reward, about, when you finally do get there, the people finally do get to the top, and they get to the top and go, huh, well, okay, so I've seen that. Now what?
Yeah, right. I wish that was true with people, but the goals they keep achieving. I have a new client this past week, and some of the things we were talking about, her attitude was, well, I guess I didn't try hard enough. Mm. She has no perspective, no way of evaluating reality. That's her attitude. Her takeaway, every time she doesn't get where she's supposed to get, and she just didn't get it right. It's awesome.
Well, and I think keeping perspective is really, you know, really needs to be one of the core parts of this, especially when it comes to our money. And, you know, because unless you are, you know, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Carlos Slim of Mexico telephone fame, I mean, unless you're one of these wealthiest people on the planet, there's somebody with more money than you. You know, I mean, if that's your measuring stick, and you start talking about $1 billion or having $50 billion, I mean, for the vast majority of everybody else, that is just so different order of magnitude. It's another planet.
You know, what's a funny thing, and I want to share this with your listeners, is when I run into the perfectionist, I always tell them the story of the sieve. The sieve is that here you've worked so hard to get something, and then it's literally in your hand, but yet your fingers open. And it falls right through, like sand, right into your fingertips, right? The sieve mentality is that if you're gaining something or accomplishing something for the wrong reason, when you finally get it, it doesn't have the value. You can't feel it. That's the key, David, is to feel things. You don't feel entitled to have it. And you look at famous people, whether it's Janis Joplin or that funny guy that had the TV show with the mustache, Freddie Prinze, all these, or John Belushi, they reach a certain level and they can't emotionally understand it, so they slip out. It's so important that people change gradually, because with every new change comes a new opportunity for you to adjust emotionally, to view yourself and heal your self-esteem. That's the purpose of it. But if you don't give yourself like a chance to marinate with it, it just flies away from you. And you're left feeling empty and undeserving. I've had a client who was incredibly accomplished builder in a major city. Built this huge company, 150 employees, whatever, gets a lot of awards. And one day I said to him, but meanwhile, he's in therapy twice a week on antidepressants. So I said to him, so what does it feel like when you got this award from the mayor and you're on television? He's like, nothing.
Wow.
How can it feel like nothing?
Wow.
He says, well, it doesn't. And he says, but I got to cut it short. I don't want to be late for my therapy appointment. So the point of the story is he could not see himself as a competent person emotionally. He was accomplished intellectually, but emotionally he was lost.
Wow.
So, and unfortunately, you know, everyone pushes antidepressants because I think they're building their second house on the Cape. But the psychiatrist never said to him, Bob, this doesn't make sense. Look at the contradiction. You're successful over here, and here you feel like you're 5 years old.
Yeah.
You need to merge the two worlds. That's the kind of therapy, or that's the kind of work that Bob needs to be doing. But, of course, you know, the psychiatrist is not going to do that with him. But it's just so sad. You have all these people who are successful, and they can't feel it. And they make poor decisions with who they marry, and they don't bring their kids up right. It's just one cycle after another.
Yeah, and it seems as though it takes, you know, bigger and bigger doses of stimulus. And when we hear about some of the people that get to some of these levels in success, that then they turn to different things that to try to, you know, it's almost like they, again, filling that hole that they may have. And it's really interesting how that plays out. And again, as you said, it's never about the money, even when it is. That's the book. And Peggy Burdick is the guest, and she is the author of that book. TheFinancialWhisperer.com is the website if you're just joining us. Peggy, I love what you're doing, and I think it's really admirable. And I think of so many things when we talk about how people, you know, how they are engaging the world around them, and how, you know, sometimes people really, they are challenged by these, the money issues. And I've got just a couple minutes left, and I'm going to skip the next break. I'm just going to keep talking to you because I love hearing your voice.
But I
love your insight into this, and I think it's very helpful. And so, you know, for our listeners who may be struggling with some of these things, and they're trying to fill that hole, or they don't know what to do, They can get your book on the website. They can download the free ebook. They can sign up for that mini session, and they can get some coaching too, right? I mean, you can do some individual. There are group opportunities. They can do all that through your website.
Yeah, the best thing here it is, David. People are scared. So if someone is going to hand you a flashlight and you're in a dark tunnel, you're going to take it. And that's what I do with the 30-minute session. I listen to people, ask them what the major issue is, give them some tools, and I say to them, send me an email in a week. Let's see what you did. I don't charge them for this. I said, go do X, Y, and Z, and then let me know in a week how you do. I keep them accountable for that. So they get a little tiny sampling of the experience. And then when they come back to me and go, you know, I didn't do the homework, I didn't floss my teeth, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, then I say to them, tell me the story, how did it feel, what was going through your mind, tomorrow's another day. People need to feel supported. Because remember, if you're talking to a five-year-old, that's the level I'm talking to when people are calling me. I know they're five. They don't know they're five, but I know they're five. Mm. So I have to give them stuff that's manageable and small. And if they can do that one little small goal, great. Then we'll go on to something else. So I love helping people. I'm always available. I make myself available. They go to my website. There's an appointment calendar. I think it's under contacts. They can book their 30 minutes with me. Mm-hmm. And, I so appreciate your support, David. I sometimes feel that I'm on a mission.
You are.
It's like, you know what? Give me those fabulous robes these people wear, and I'm just going to take my staff, literally and metaphorically, and I'm going to go forth because people need help.
They do. They need your help. They need my help. And thankfully, we both know why we're on this planet, what we're supposed to do, people do need it and they don't know where to turn. And they, you know, there are a lot of challenges. So I'm really glad to be back in touch with you, Peggy. And we'll have you back to talk with us again. Peggy Burdick, ladies and gentlemen, financial coach, author, and she is the Financial Whisperer. And you see why after having talked with her today. The book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is. And I will be talking to Peggy again soon. So thank you, Peggy.
Thank you, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.